Our scripture reading from today is from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Brady blessings and brings a message. Thank you, Dee, for reading scripture. It's great to be gathered together this morning in the name of Jesus, who welcomes us all. Amen. I was down in Harrisonburg, Virginia this past Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday for the 50th annual School for Leadership Training at Eastern Mennonite Seminary. That's where I graduated with my Master of Divinity. It's always great to go back there and connect with other my professors, with fellow classmates. About 200 pastors gathering together and supporting one another in this journey that we're all still trying to figure out what we're doing, to be honest with you sometimes. The theme this year was surviving in the stormy seas of change. And for 3 days, we dwelled in this text that was just read for us this morning in Mark, of Jesus and the disciples in the storm, in the boat with Jesus. And so we reflected on it together. We considered some of the own storms in our own lives, in the polarized political world we live in right now, our congregations, conferences, denominations. But it was really cool, too, to hear people share very vulnerably about, regardless of the church storms, just what it's like personally to pastor with family challenges, financial struggles that are real, with debt, wondering, how are my kids doing as I'm pastoring? How is their formation? Pastors asking their search for continued meaning and purpose in life as they are leading these congregations. Some pastors saying they feel like they were having a midlife crisis. The storms abound. But I don't need to tell you that, because you all can think about the own storms in your own lives as well. And thank you, children, for creating that beautiful picture of a storm then to come, because that is a visual for us. That's those noises and that thumping, that helps us to consider some of the own storms that we're maybe facing right now. So thank you. So let's dig into this story a little bit and allow Christ to speak through this text in Mark. So in the New Testament, much of the ministry of Jesus occurs right here on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. There's this development happening around the Sea of Galilee. It's a place of high economic opportunity because there's a great place to fish. A lot of trade going on and ferrying by boat. And so is it any surprise then that Jesus would choose to do his ministry right here in the Sea of Galilee, where all this economic activity is happening? And because there's economic activity, there's a lot of diversity. Because whether you're a Jew or Gentile, whether you support the Roman government or you don't support the Roman government, whether you're conservative or liberal, everyone has to make money. And it's this place where people from much diversity came to the Sea of Galilee for their income. And so Jesus does quite a bit of ministry in this area. He recruited four of his apostles from the shores of the Sea of Galilee, the fisherman Simon and his brother Andrew, brothers John and James. Many of his miracles occur in this area, like walking on water, this story, calming the storm. The disciples and the miraculous catch of fish and feeding 5,000 people. All of them happen right here at the Sea of Galilee. And like I said, it's this really unique place of diversity. And so it's an interesting factor to consider that the Sea of Galilee, depending on what side you were on, could be more Jewish, more Gentile, safer from the Roman rule, or less safe. Depending on the side of the Sea of Galilee that you lived on, you maybe felt more at home, more secure. And so when Jesus says in this story, "Let us go to the other side," he's actually giving an invitation to the disciples to take a leap of faith, to take a risk, maybe, to get out of their comfort zone, to go to the other side. In the midst of political division, Jewish and Gentile division, this was a call to trust Jesus, to have faith, to go to the other side. But going to the other side can mean many different things for each of us. What is the other side that maybe we need to go to with Jesus in the boat? And we read in this story that there are other boats as well. Isn't it great to know that? We're not the only boat. We're not alone in this journey of going to the other side. There's other boats as well. And so the disciples say, "Let's do it. Let's have the courage." And they get in the boat, and they are going to the other side. And while they are going, we read that there is a great storm. Verse 37. "A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped." Todd, if you could project the picture, I have a visual here. This is from artist Barth Dirks. I might have said his name wrong. But you can see the emotion in the disciples' face. This is a legit storm. I mean, think about it. These are experienced fishermen. These are people that know the sea. Surely, this is not the first storm they've ever been in. But we get the idea that this must be a particularly bad storm. The boat was merely swamped. And what is Jesus at this point in the story doing? Anyone, just call out. What's Jesus doing in the midst of the storm here? He's sleeping. Can you believe it? Jesus taking a nap? Verse 38, "Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion." Now, I love it that the writer Mark gives us the details saying Jesus isn't just sleeping, he's sleeping on a cushion. Isn't that nice to know Jesus was nice and comfy? I love that detail. I mean, Jesus had to rest. He's doing ministry. He's healing people, teaching, walking everywhere. He's not getting in his car and taxiing to the next town to do his ministry. He's walking. He was tired. And in the midst of this storm, he's sleeping on a cushion, practicing self-care. But the disciples aren't too interested in Jesus' self-care at this point, because they're worried about drowning. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Now, do you see the irony in this story? It's a beautiful picture of irony. Here's an experienced fisherman, experienced in a very popular fishing sea, and they're going to the novice Jesus, who we don't know how much time has spent on a boat, the carpenter, to save them in the sea. God works in creative ways. But it must have been a bit humbling, I wonder, for these experienced fishermen to have to ask the carpenter to save them. And we read that Jesus wakes up, rebukes the wind and the waves, and says, "Quiet, be still." And we read in verse 39, the wind died down and it was completely calm. And after that, Jesus says to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Thanks for the picture. You can take that down. Once again, over and over and over in the Gospels, we hear this theme coming through. Why are you so afraid? Fear seems to be this antidote to Jesus' mission. And so Jesus says, why are you so afraid? Do you not have faith? Don't be afraid, because what happens in the midst of fear? Division, separation, bad things generally come when we let fear have the last word. And so Jesus' words are extremely important for us this morning. Don't be afraid in the storm. This week at East Mennonite Seminary, the pastor was sharing really vulnerably some really painful splits in her congregation. It's a hard time right now in the church for many. And she was sharing vulnerably, and she said, you know, there's been people that have left. And it's really hard as a pastor when that happens. But she said, you know, after those people left, and our congregation is hanging together, and we're still meeting Sunday morning, we're still God's church in the midst of this pain. She said, I'm not afraid as I used to be that people will leave anymore. People will do what they will do. I can't fix all this stuff. But I'm not going to let fear win me over. I can't. I can't let that fear of what the future looks like keep me up at night. And she said, I honestly don't worry about it as much as I used to. It's God's church, and God is at work. We're joining God in this incredible mission. There's not enough time right now for me to worry. Wow, it's pretty powerful to hear that. These words, do not be afraid. Do you not have faith? Do you not have faith that I am God? The beginning and the end, the everlasting from everlasting, the creator of everything, and that your very beginning and your very end is in me? Have faith. God is at work, friends. You have faith. And the last words in this story tell us they were still terrified. I'll appropriate it. Because even after Jesus saying that, we're still scared sometimes. I'm still terrified sometimes. Maybe you are too. But I love what they ask. They ask each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. See, the disciples are trying to understand Jesus. They're still trying to figure it out. They're maybe asking this question daily. Who is this? See, everything's getting turned upside down for the disciples. They thought Jesus might be a military king, bringing new freedom for them from Rome. That's not who this is, it seems. He's healing people. He's talking about his Father and all glory to the Father. He's talking about being people of humility, of having the courage to cross to the other side. They must have learned so much. And interesting, in the book of Mark especially, it's usually the women that understand Jesus the best, and not the men that have more of the power. But here they are in this story, these disciples on the boat was saying, who is this? In the midst of being afraid, they are asking, even the wind and the sea obey him. You ever had those early morning devotionals, just quiet reflection time? reflecting on who God is that we worship, this Jesus that we follow, and just kind of amazed or with a little bit of question, who is this God? Who is this Jesus that even the wind and the sea obey him? That even in the storms of life, even when it seems like Jesus is sleeping, to have faith that he is still there in the boat. Do not be afraid, but have faith. And we can't help but respond sometimes with thank you, thank you, thank you, that you're still in the boat. In conclusion, I wanted to share a story which was a highlight for me from this past 3 days at Easter Moonlight Seminary. Hearing a story by Dr. David Evans. He's professor of mission and history at Easter Moonlight Seminary. He's one of my professors. And he's an historian. So what does a good historian do? They remind us of places in the church that went through storms and how they saw God and had faith in God in the midst of the storm. That's why history is so important. Because we have to be reminded. We have to hear those stories of where there was a better way, of where fear didn't win, of when there was faith. And he told this incredible story in the early 90s, the LA riots. The LA riots, incredible division between the black church and the Korean church. Can you imagine the division, the painful polarization happening? Violence between people in the church, even. Much of it fueled by fear, racial divide, the unknown of crossing to the other side. And he told a story of Reverend Choi, a Korean church leader. He said he was pastor of a really small church. But you know what? Small didn't matter. He said, we are a church for the poor, by the poor, and of the poor. And Reverend Choi, in the midst of this unbelievable polarization, was convinced that they had to be people of Christ's peace and reconciliation. And so they basically took on their mission to be bridge builders in the midst of the racial divide with another black small church in LA. He said it took a lot of courage. When the fear could usually allow them just to stay comfortable in their own little church, they had to get on the boat and cross to the other side to go and hear the stories of this other congregation, to listen and to say, how can we be people of peace in the midst of this unbelievable storm in the LA riots? And Reverend Choi and his small congregation and this small black congregation worked together. And it's still a story in LA that people look to of how there was work and being people of Christ's peace and reconciliation. But they had to be willing to get in the boat and cross to the other side with Jesus. And so friends, this morning, as we, in a little bit, will take communion together and have a time to renew our commitments to one another and to God, let's be reminded that we're in the boat with Jesus. Let us cross to the other side. Jesus is with us. Let's sail. Amen.